Cape Talk.
Call 021 446 0567.
All right, so it's at this time every Saturday morning that we are joined by Daily Maverick motoring journalist Melinda Ferguson. She's with us through until just before 9 o'clock, taking the wheel and giving us the lowdown on some of the latest cars on the road. This week, Melinda has been cruising in the rather space-age looking Hyundai Staria 7-seater. To you, Ms. Ferguson. So to start with, I was doing a little bit of research, as I do in the week, and Top Gear says of this car, Hyundai, to rhyme with Sunday, so no, Hyundai. Hyundai. Every time, is bringing back a segment mercilessly pummeled into submission by those pesky crossovers via a car from the future that movies have been promising us for decades. I love that. We're talking MPVs, which stands for what, please?
Multi-purpose vehicles. Multi-purpose. And good morning to you.
Good morning to you, madam. A segment mercilessly pummeled into submission by those pesky crossovers.
I love it.
What is this category that we're looking at? Because I genuinely don't think that I could name another single car in this class.
Well, you're going to kick yourself because you're going to be able to name many of them when I tell you, and seen lots of them.
Oh.
They're also called, by the way, in Australia, yeah. They're called people movers.
Oh, right.
And they're called panel vans as well. They are sometimes called leisure-focused minibuses.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And multi-cab, you know, they're also sometimes called multi-cabs. And don't underestimate that these vehicles are often used in the funeral industry.
What?
To move bodies. Yeah.
Oh.
And coffins.
Lovely.
The others that you will definitely have seen is the Toyota Hiace and Quantum. A lot of our minibus taxis are the Quantum.
Right.
You've got the Volkswagen T6 in the Combi and the Caravelle.
No,
you've definitely seen the Combi. Ford Transit, Tornio, and the Mercedes-Benz Vito and V-Class.
I haven't heard of any of those.
Okay, haven't you?
No.
You must wake up a bit. You haven't heard of any of those?
No.
Oh, come on, you heard of the Caravelle. I've even reviewed it.
Pay attention, SJ. Okay, I'm Googling some. Oh, something's come up that says, what is this now? The Citroen Berlingo. Oh, that I've seen.
Are the Berlingo? I've never seen one.
Oh,
in South
Africa. You can't swing a dead cat without
so
hitting a Berlingo.
UK.
Okay, all right. Okay, so that a segment with
it's a very lucrative class.
A very lucrative class, she says.
Yeah, because it's so multi-purpose. So when we say MPV, it can be customized to suit all sorts of needs. Like the funeral industry, like the transport industry, like small business people might want to use it for a business because you can, you know, it's a 9 or 11 seater, which is pretty enormous.
Yeah, that's huge. Okay. All right. Is it fair to say then that with a vehicle like this, we are looking at practicality over panache?
Well, I think in some instances you're right.
Mm.
You know, in like, I'd say the Quantum Toyota is not exactly like the panache kind, a car with panache. But this new Staria, I mean, if you look at it, it does look like something from the future.
It's like a spaceship.
I think it is absolutely gorgeous. I know some others don't. There was a bit of a Twitter frenzy posted pictures and some were going like, what is this? Did the designer get fired afterwards? You know, so I think people are either going to love that like future mobile looking Staria, or they're going to go, what is this? And I myself am a bit of a futuristic kid.
I really like it.
I
love that enormous front windscreen and that sort of rounded front. Mm. It looks like it's going to take off and take you to Mars.
It really does.
I like it. All right. Target market, as you say, you're saying that it essentially can adapt for all sorts, from funeral parlours to cat groomers, I guess. It's quite...
Cat groomers. Yeah.
I don't know.
Schools are going to love it, because if you've got a cricket team, that's 11 players, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, you stick. And I've just seen, in Korea, where Hyundai's home is, North Korea, South Korea. Let's not get into the North now. There's something called a Kinder Staria, which is obviously German for children. Mm. And that's like a proper school bus. They come in yellow. They are absolutely gorgeous. And I think schools, I think the transport industry, I think the funeral industry, I think, as you said, the cat grooming, the dog parlour industry.
The thriving cat grooming industry that there is, in particularly South Africa.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. So it's those types of, and large families. You know, some people have like seven kids. Put granny in the back and you've got a vehicle to take on a lovely holiday.
It appeals to the Catholics, essentially.
Exactly. It's a Catholic mobile.
How's the interior? What's going on inside? Will I be as impressed inside once I climb inside as I am with the outside?
If you like Star Trek, you will. I mean, it's definitely, I got a feeling of being like a captain of a starship, and I was in my front driver's seat manning my ship.
Okay.
It's it's large. As you said, there's a lot of glass, and you've got digital instrument clusters that makes you feel like you're a driver of a spaceship. There's quite a fabulous 10-inch front display screen, which is rather large.
It's huge.
And we've got button types of electronic shift levers. You've got a very intelligent infotainment system. There's a wide-angle camera that enables both the driver and the front passenger to be able to look at what those travellers behind
are doing. Those pesky kids. Yeah,
all those 11 crazy toddlers that you're going to be lugging to creches are going to love it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of convenient storage space. You know, you've got cup holders everywhere. You've got lots of space at the bottom, on the side. So, you know, I think it really is like a people's type of vehicle.
I've just had a Google look at the interior of this Hyundai, to rhyme with Sunday, Staria. The leather seats look lovely and it looks very spacious, and we will talk about space in just a second. My however is going to be, however, and it's my pet hate, looks a bit plasticky. Mm.
No, it's not.
Okay.
I think you've got a bad photo in front of you.
Okay.
It really isn't. I was quite shocked that it wasn't, because I thought, okay, they're going to have an exterior that looks like super, you know, premium and space age, but inside we're going to be like a hard plastic and that.
Fantastic.
But it really isn't. I was pretty impressed about the finishes inside the Staria.
Okay, size-wise, were you impressed?
Sure. I mean, when I saw it, I thought, geez, how am I going to drive this? But once I was in there, you know, it really actually was really easy to drive. It's a 2.2 litre VGT turbo diesel engine, only diesel available.
Mm.
Same engine as the Santa Fe that's going to be the new ones being launched in March next year. 130 kilowatts, 430 newton metres, which is pretty good torque. And it's got a really good 8-speed automatic transmission that honestly feels like silk you're not changing gears, because it's changing gears itself. But on the acceleration, I found it to be really quite amazing how smooth and how stable this huge spaceship was.
You drove this, obviously, but if you were a passenger, would you be comfortable? Would you be happy if I said to you, right, let's go to your mansion in the middle of nowhere? Would you be happy as a passenger if I was going to be driving and you had to be in the car, you know, road tripping for a couple of hours?
More than happy. I sat in the back seats. They were, I can't remember. I think, you know, three rows, actually. And in the back seats, it's really a comfy drive because it's so large. I mean, I think there's 5,000 litres of boot space.
Sure.
which is, I think that's with obviously the back row down, but I mean, that's a lot of space.
So this was a nine-seater, is that right? Let me get this right. This is a nine-seater, but there is an option for an 11-seater.
11-seater as well, yeah.
Sure, okay.
I think 11 seats. I mean, obviously, though, if you think about it, if you are a, say, e-hailing taxi driver, and you've got a whole lot of tourists, come back, and put 11 of them in, you know, and maybe not 11 if they've got luggage, but you've got a trailer then, you know, you pull them with the trailer, pull the luggage with the trailer. That's what one does.
Is this now? Here's the thing about a car like this. It's hugely practical if, as you say, you need to ferry people or stuff here, there, and everywhere. Mm. If you just need to nip to the shops for a carton of milk, is it? I mean, that's problematic, sure, in terms of just nipping out to park somewhere.
Yeah, I think the parking would be a big problem. I mean, yesterday I was driving the GLS Merc AMG, which is like a 7-seater, and it's enormous.
Right.
And I needed to get keys cut on Durban Road. Oh, well, I mean, no parking. I couldn't just nip on the pavement.
No.
And so I would imagine that the Stario is going to not fit into those Devotikant parking spaces very easily.
No. Okay, fair enough. In terms of safety, what are we looking at with just the MPV class in general, but specifically with the Stario? One often thinks, oh, well, you're sort of essentially driving around in a tank, so it must be pretty good. Do you know what the safety rating is and what are the safety features?
I'm not sure what the safety rating is in terms of the Euro NCAP, but there are 6 airbags. There is obviously all the ABS and ESC and EBD. There's a rear-facing camera, a blind spot and lane change assist, which is really helpful. Because if you are going to change lanes, you know, it's really good to know that there's some cross traffic in your way that you might, you know, go and bump into.
Yeah.
So, but I can tell you what, when you're driving this, it doesn't feel as big as what it looks because it's really well laid out inside.
Okay.
I found it very easy to drive.
Somebody is asking on the WhatsApp line, please, can you tweet some photos? Yes, Melinda has tweeted. She is at Melinda Smacked. I will also retweet that, and so will we on our Cape Talk Twitter. So let me do that now. There we go. I've retweeted at This Is SJ King, and then I will also retweet from our Cape Talk account, so you can have a look at the very futuristic. What's that? Driving over Nelson Mandela Bridge, I think, in Joburg.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
And it's a pity they didn't do the shot
the
at night.
View.
Because because at night you would see all of the lights, and the lights are what really lights this thing up as a futuristic, you know, when they're on. That it really does look like something out of a motor show that was supposed to be a concept car but actually landed
exactly
up on the road.
It really does look like a concept car. I like it. I really like it. I think it looks really modern. What did you love? What didn't you love?
Okay, I loved how it looked, obviously, because that is just up my alley. But I was really impressed with something that I hadn't seen in other cars. It was when you put on the indicators, you've got cameras mounted on the side mirrors, which give you a picture onto the instrument cluster, and you can see what's happening behind you, which is actually, like, it was almost disorientating. I was like, why is there a camera now on my digital cluster? So you can pass a car, and you don't have to actually look in the mirror, you know, your rearview mirror.
Mm.
The camera shows you exactly what's happening on the side.
Can I say, with all these modern cars that I don't own a modern car, so I don't have cameras and stuff, exactly what you've just said is my concern with these things. And I imagine it takes some getting used to. I was taught when I was driving, you know, you check your mirrors 1, 2, 3, and you check them all the time. And then you turn around and you check your blind spot. And for 20 years, how old am I? For more than 20 years, that's how I've been driving. I think suddenly if I was to see cameras it would be very disorienting to me.
Yeah, and I would say the future of motoring, this is going to be used more and more.
Oh,
the Koreans are definitely forerunners because in the, in the Palisade, which we reviewed a little while ago, the SUV, similar type of things were happening in the Palisade. So I think they are setting the bar, and you'll soon see cars that have all got like kind of mirrors to show you who's behind you, what's in front of you, what's on the side of you.
Jeepers, it's going to be like driving in a computer game. Okay, that's what you loved. What didn't you love?
You know, I knew you were going to ask me that, and I really found it hard to think of something. It was difficult because I found this car and this multi-purpose vehicle, rather, that's what it's really called, to be pretty faultless.
Wow.
I suppose in some way, on a more general level, its looks might be the thing that people would hate, but it's not my thing that I hate. I'm not going to find anything to really say that I thought was there was room for improvement on.
I'm excited to hear you say that, because we'll be doing your car of the year either at the end of December or the beginning of January, and I'm wondering if this might be a contender. Let's talk price. I am going to hazard a guess at I don't know, so I'm going to say 1.1 million.
Well, you've hit it right on the nail for the absolute top of the range. The R2.2 luxury 9-seater auto is 109,900.
Okay.
But the entry level, which is an unbelievable price, I think, is the executive 9-seater auto is 789,900.
Well done, Hyundai.
Yeah.
Okay, that's Hyundai. Not bad. Seven Hyundai. Sorry. Don't know what is it. I've got a mental block about it. It's the same. I can't say disoriented either. Disorientated. It's one of those words I struggle with. Okay, 789,900 for the entry level. I don't think that's bad at all. I'll be interested to see how. Do we know how many units are going to be up for sale here?
We don't, but I do want to tell you that the H1, which I didn't mention earlier, was the predecessor to the Staria, which sold really well in South Africa. Okay. I think there were about 22,400 units sold.
Okay.
And Hyundai at the moment is number three in the best-selling car manufacturers in South Africa, behind Toyota and VW.
Okay. What are you giving this out of 10?
Look, I wanted to give it a 9, but I think I need to keep those 9s for that Lexus LC500 that I gave recently. So I'm giving it an 8.5 out of 10.
That's not too shoddy. What are we doing next week?
The Peugeot Landtrek, which is a Bucky.
Okay.
A Peugeot Bucky.
A Peugeot Bucky. All right, not bad. Thank you very much indeed, Melinda Ferguson. That was Car Talk.